Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message.
It seems every year that Christmas comes and goes faster and faster. I remember how excited I was to see all of the presents under the star-top tree and the nativity on the mantle. This Christmas story isn't new to me. I know most of the characters: Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus, shepherds, wise ruler. But I can't help to think, what do I think of it now? Is it just a good kid's story? Could this story I revisit every year be real? If this is a true story, then maybe the book isn't quite finished. Maybe there are chapters to be written, and I have a role to play. I wonder what my life would look like if I really believed that God's Son came to us as a baby. Not just in some fairy tale story, but in real life, to put us back in a right relationship with God. This Christmas, let's discover the unfolding story God has written for our lives.
Well, good morning. Welcome to First Nazarene Church. My name is Galen. If you're new here, I'm one of the pastors here. I'm excited to share with you today a fun message. I've been excited to share this with you all week about the different characters of the Christmas story. Whether you're here for the very first time, whether you're here every week, you probably already know this story. And I want us to revisit it this week in a message I've entitled, Meet the Cast. And so today I want to ask you just to, as we begin, this question: who is one actor or actress you would love to meet? Think about it for a moment. If you're in a life group, and life groups that use our message reflection questions, this is going to be your first question this week, so you've got some advance here. One actor or actress you'd love to meet. See, I don't know about you, but I do enjoy movies, and every now and then, you'll watch a movie, and for whatever reason, it becomes clear to you, and you're like, I believe this actor was like born to play in this specific role. Yeah, they'll be in other movies, but like this one. I think of like Liam Neeson in Taken. Like, dude was born to play that role. Morgan Freeman in Bruce Almighty. It's an amazing role. I think of Heath Ledger as the Joker. For me growing up, it was Russell Crowe in Gladiator. I'm like, this dude is awesome. He was born to play this role. Maybe Rachel McAdams in The Notebook, if you love your romantic comedies, whatever. For them, it was the role of a lifetime, a role that they will always remember and they will probably be known by. See, each week as we gather in the church and we read a story or a scripture in this, we believe something different in our series, Your Christmas Story. We're believing this isn't just some kid's fairy tale. It's not just a story that we like to tell. These are nonfiction stories. This is history, or his story, the story that God is writing throughout all of history to communicate his love to the world. And in this nonfiction story, there are different characters that are cast to play very specific roles at very specific times. When I think of the Christmas story and meeting the cast, I remember that one time when I was a child, I was cast as the role of a shepherd. And I was wearing blue, and I had a little blue headband thing. Just pure curiosity, those of you in the room, most of you are like church people and have been for years. How many of you grew up and you were cast into a Christmas play? Anybody? Oh my, yeah, that's right. Paul, what were you in it, if you don't mind me asking? Were you a wise man? Oh my word, I was right. He was a wise man in that story. For me, this wasn't it, but it looks something like this. You see, we know this story. No matter who, what characters were cast in what roles, this is a story we come back to and we're like, yeah, I know this one, I've heard this one. For me being cast at like 5 years old, and now I look back and I'm like, you know how many times I've probably heard this story? Hundreds. I know this story. But here's what happens, and I want you to catch this. The more familiar we are with something, the more we need to go back and revisit it. Because we're, oh yeah, yeah, I know it. And so we write it off. When if we would go back and revisit it, we could learn new things every single year. This is a great example. When you think of this story, you picture Mary and Joseph riding on a donkey. They're headed back to Bethlehem. Mary's very pregnant. The time is coming. And they get there and they get to the inn. And then they meet the character of the innkeeper. And he tells them, oh, there's no more room for you here at the inn. Like, you're too late. We're all full. You can't stay here. And pastors throughout the centuries have used this as an example. And I love this metaphor. Like, will you be like the innkeeper this Christmas? Will you make room for Jesus? I love that metaphor. It's super good. You know what's interesting? The innkeeper isn't even in the story. We just assume he is because we've known this story. We've told it over and over. Maybe for some of us, all you need to hear this morning is this week, what you need to do is just to go read Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2 over and over and over again and refamiliarize yourself with this story. One of my main goals for you today is to take the story of little figurines, but to see them as real people, complex people that had difficult decisions to make. And then today we're going to ask the question, why are these people in this story? And what can we learn from them? And I'm not going to try to explain everything about every character. There's just not enough time for that. For me, I went back and reread the story, and I feel like God showed me one thing in a different light, maybe this year, than I'd ever seen before, and I simply want to share those with you. So first up today, we've got these guys, the wise men. We can name one of them Paul. That's fine. Put them right here. So we'll put the wise men here, and let's talk about them. Let me just ask you, you guys know this story. How many wise men are there? Three? We should revisit the story. We always assume. Let's read about their story. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, an undisclosed number of wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star and it rose, and we have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And they assembled the chief priests and the scribes of the people, and he inquired of them, "Where is this Christ to be born?" And they told him, according to Micah 5:2, the new king was going to be born in Bethlehem. So Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and he asked when the star had appeared. He said, "Go to Bethlehem, go and search for the child. When you find him, tell me so I can worship him too." Yeah, right, Herod. And after listening to the king, they went on their way, and they saw the star, and they went to the place where the child was born. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down, and they worshiped. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and of frankincense and myrrh. And then they were warned in a dream, "Don't go back to Herod." Instead, they departed to their own country by another way. We've become so familiar with the story, we assume there's three of them because there's three gifts. Our Eastern brothers and sisters would actually say there was 12 wise men. Scholars say there may even have been up to 24. But either way, the wise men come to worship Jesus. Why are they in this story? Why would God, if he's going to say, "Okay, I'm going to send my son, I myself am going to come and be incarnate among the people, I get to choose my welcoming party," why would he choose these people? I think for me, from the very beginning, God wants us to know he's not going to use the normal centers of power that we're used to. He's not going to come and be the military king that we kind of want and we thought that he would be. Instead, he's going to be born away from the center of power. And he's not going to have the insiders. King Herod would have been a Jew, and that would have been the king of the time and the Jewish people there. And he's not going to have his own people recognize him. I think it was a message from the very beginning. Even outsiders, even foreigners will come and worship God, and he will be the God of all nations. Pastor Bob's background notes are really good, and they can go further in depth on these characters. I would encourage you to pick them up this week. One thing he noted is that these are strangers. They're strange. They're foreign. These would have been the people of the day where you'd think to yourself, why these people? They look different than us. They dress different than us. Probably speak a different language than us. Why them? And they become the very first outsiders that get to come and worship Jesus as King. I think that should teach us as well, at Christmas time especially, but always, don't dismiss the stranger. Maybe God could use them. They come from the East, they're foreigners, but they come to worship. God says anyone can come and recognize me as King and worship. I love what Bob writes. The Magi, the wise men, it's about strangers. The normally uninvited, the frequently excluded, and the people that are purposefully avoided. If I could ask you this morning, if you were to go through this list, don't think of wise men, but think of people in your life. Who tends to end up uninvited? Who tends to end up excluded from your life? Who do you avoid? And you probably don't know them super well. These are strangers, but you definitely avoid them if you can. You don't put yourself in places where you would meet them. Who do you avoid? I think we can learn from this story is that God wants to show us that even the strangers, the uninvited, the excluded, and the avoided in our mind or in society are welcome to know Jesus. This Christmas, in the next 19 days, as we approach Christmas, I want you to have new eyes for people you don't know, the strangers, and maybe begin to think maybe they too are valuable and valuable to God. And I love this. They might be the next episode of God's story of salvation. Who do we need to notice that are the strangers to us? Next in the story, we have these little guys, the shepherds. Again, if I'm God, why would I include shepherds? Part of their story you've already heard, it goes like this. The same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a child is born, Christ the Lord." And we've read the rest of this section in our candle lighting today as well. And at the end of the story, the shepherds returned to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. They return praising. Okay, so if you're God and you're coming, you're arriving, and you get to choose who's gonna be at your party, would you choose shepherds? I started thinking, I was like, okay, what did Mary and Joseph really need at this point? If I was gonna send someone to them, who would I send? If my son was going to be born and be born and like put in a feeding trough, who would I send? My first thought is you should probably send a doctor. Like these people were not born, like they're putting him in a stable. You get to the hospital today and you get the same white cloth that you put over your baby and you put them in this like little cube thing and you have to keep them safe and you don't touch them. Instead, in the Christmas story, it's like, oh, he's in a feeding trough and here's some animals. Send a doctor, send someone to help. I literally just found out yesterday there is such a profession as called a night nurse. Have you heard of this? They come to your house and like do the night feedings for you. What? If I'm God, I would be like, hey, I want to make sure my son's well taken care of. Mary, Joseph, you've had a long journey. I'm going to send you a night nurse. You're welcome. There you go. Maybe you would send scribes. Man, if the king of the world, the creator of the world has been born, we should have someone write this down and share it with the world. In today's world, maybe we should send an Instagram influencer and they'll snap a little cute photo of baby Jesus and let the world know his Savior's been born. He's 8 pounds, 6 ounces, and he's got golden fleece little diapers on. Hashtag shake and bake, send it to the world. Let everyone know the king has been born. But God sends shepherds. Why? In the Bible, if you were to do a survey, a study of shepherds, you'd learn that at once they actually had super high favor and status. You think of King David, he was a shepherd before he came, became king. You think of others, the wealthy sons of Isaac and Jacob, they were wealthy and they were shepherds. Moses marries into a shepherding family. These shepherds had status. But by the time we get to this part of Scripture, shepherds are at the bottom of the rung of the social status. They're actually equivalated with tax collectors and dung sweepers. There's a social job for you. They were not well thought of. In general, they were despised in everyday life. They were considered to be second class and untrustworthy. If you were in court and you'd say, I'd like to call a witness, you know, his name is Alex. Alex, come and take the stand. And he comes and they say, wait, what's your profession, young man? He said, well, I'm a shepherd. They'd say, we can't trust you anyway. Get him off the stand. You had no status and it affected even the legal order of the day. People did not trust you as a shepherd. Why would a shepherd come and what can we learn from them? I think God wanted to show us good news of great joy is for everyone, for all people. See, it's interesting. I think the Magi, the wise men, they're foreigners, they're strangers. We don't really know them, right? But what about shepherds? These shepherds were insiders. They would have been Jewish people, a part of the community. You may have known even some of them. Isn't it interesting that sometimes we have more grace for strangers than we do for the people in our family or the people that we already know? It's different to be like, oh, a wise man came. Oh, it's nice to meet you. Like, tell me about your cultures, your customs. Like, yeah, you can come worship Jesus. That's fine. Oh, but you, I know you. I know where you are in society. You're gonna come? God says, I'm gonna deliver my message to these people. You see, when you hear this message, good news of great joy for all people, he could have sent it to Herod. Make a proclamation among my people. It's for everyone. But sometimes when a message is delivered from the top, those down below don't really believe it. Oh, good news for great joy, so you can line your pockets how with this? No, but let's start the message at the very bottom. So when it's, oh, for all people, that includes me too. I think God wants us to know that everyone is near us. For us this year, and here's what I want you to do this week, and I've been praying about this for you. I want you to begin to notice the people that you regularly encounter, family, coworkers, whoever, but for some reason mentally, you've written them off. Maybe you've categorized them, you've kind of labeled them so you can dismiss them. This week, when you notice yourself saying statements that are general, yeah, he's a mess. He's one of those people. Yeah, it's just the way she is. She's probably never gonna change. Man, he always does that. I want you to catch yourself making these comments about people. Oftentimes we make these comments about people that we view in one way or another under us, so that it props us up and it makes us feel better about ourselves. Thank God I'm not like them. But this week, when you have that thought or phrase, I want you to remember the good news of great joy, the gospel of Jesus, the mercy, the forgiveness, the life transformation. They're different from you, but God says they can have a different future as well, is for all people, even those who we tend to look down on. And here's what's interesting, I love this. They return glorifying and praising God. You see, when we talk bad about others, it makes us feel better, but only for a moment. If you really want to feel better and know who your Creator is and have a different kind of future, how you do that is to come and kneel at the manger. Because it's here we realize, I'm not fit to have an audience with royalty anyway. It's here we begin to realize we're, none of us should be invited. We're only saved by grace and mercy. Scripture says that we have all fallen short. We're not living some kind of perfect life. And it's at the manger we realize, oh, the wise men are here and the shepherds are here and everyone's here. So I'm not going to look down on others. If I want to know who I am and feel better about myself, it comes by worshiping and glorifying God for who he is as king. And there we find out who we are. So this week, remember the lowly and become lowly yourself. The next character I'd love to introduce you to are the more familiar ones. We'll put little Mary and Joseph right here. Remember how I said we become so familiar with the story, like miss some details, right? So Mary is probably 13, 14, which oftentimes when we depict her, and there's very few realistic pictures you can find, it's probably like 25, because like a freshman in high school feels really uncomfortable. But she's probably 13 or 14. Joseph is probably 18 to 20. But when we depict him, like, dude's got a beard. My wife was like, could you grow a beard at 18 or 20? I'm like, you didn't really grow one until 29. I mean, think about it. 18 to 20, he's young. Even this guy, I was laughing as I came in this morning. He's like got the balding crown thing going on. He's not 50. 18 to 20. No offense. I'm sorry if that was offensive to some of you. Amen. Oh, man. Pastor Brian saying amen. I'm in trouble. Mary and Joseph. Let's look first at Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed. This is interesting. Betrothed. It's like engaged, but it's legally binding. Like there's a legally binding contract almost in the engagement to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. And she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern, oh no, what kind of greeting might this be? The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. I love that. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am just I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child will be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God. Let's look at Joseph's story for just a second. Now the birth of Jesus came about in this way. When his mother had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child. So Joseph's story is a little bit later. She's already pregnant. She's already found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her and her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. He's pondering divorce. This year, what was new and different for me? I began to actually ask myself, could I put myself in the shoes or sandals of Mary and Joseph? What if I was a young 14-year-old girl pregnant and I saw the angel and like, I know this is God's will. I know this is God's plan, but nobody believes me. I'm 14. How many of us believe our 14-year-olds when it comes to big things? They come home pregnant and you say, who's the father? And they're like, well, here's the thing. It's different. I wonder if Mary had plans for her life. When I get older, I want to do this. I want to have this occupation. When I get older and maybe a little bit older, I'll find a husband and I'll have a family of my own. But this isn't how I pictured my life. This is going to be different. Think about her and her family life, the division it must have caused. Think about the shame that her parents would have experienced. Think about the public disgrace. Oh, we all see, you can't hide it for that long. We know what happened. You say, no, it's not true. Think about everything she must have been feeling. I can't believe I'm in this position now. It's not where I thought I'd be at this point in my life. This Christmas isn't what I thought it would be. And you're Joseph. You're 18 to 20 years old. I got married at 21. I was very young. Some of you are married even younger than that. And you, when I was married that young, you're like, you got the rest of your life ahead of you. I'm about to get married. This is going to be amazing. I can see our future together. I picture Joseph excited. And then one day Mary comes in and says, Joseph, we need to talk. Which, first of all, they should have known in a marriage relationship, never start a conversation with, we need to talk. It's never good news. That phrase alone is enough to give you a heart attack. Joseph, we need to talk. Why? Joseph, I'm pregnant. Oh, and who's the father? Well, here's the thing. If I'm Joseph, I'm thinking, if I'm not the father, then who is? Mary, are you faithful to me? Mary, what have you done to our relationship? Mary, what are people going to think? If I'm Joseph, I'm like, what are people going to think about me? Can you picture the complexity of this relationship? Joseph would probably be singing to himself, this is not where I thought my life would be at this point. Here was a new thing for me too, even more depth to this story. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 22, which you don't read very often because it's the Levitical laws, and this section specifically is about sexual immorality, so that's not a place we visit often as we publicly read scripture in church. But it says this, if a man and woman come together in marriage, and it's found out that she's not a virgin, do you know what the law that they would have known says you can do? This is Deuteronomy 22:16. Then they shall bring out the young woman to her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her to death with stones to purge the evil from the community. Joseph thinking, it's not my baby. Maybe this is why he was divorcing her quietly, because he could have done so very publicly, but do you know what that would do for Mary? Mary herself knowing this? Do I accept these words? This is a hard, sticky situation. Again, I think they're both probably thinking these thoughts. Can I ask you today, is your life all that you thought it would be? All that you dreamed about when you were younger? These two were thrust into a very different future. All your relationships with your friends, are they what you thought they'd be? Is your family what you hoped and dreamed it would be? Man, even in your career, even if you got the house, the car, the minivan, the truck, the white picket fence, the 2.5 kids, or whatever version your dream of success is, even if you got it, isn't it emptier than you thought it would be? Our future's an interesting thing. I think part of the reason God chose to tell this part of the story in the way that he did is to show us that there's no such thing as a perfect path or a perfect plan, and we have this perfect vision of what it will be, and it doesn't happen. And I think God says, it's okay. I'm okay with the mess, and this is the God that enters into the mess. Can I ask you, how do you respond when things don't go the way that you want them to in your vision of what you want for your life and for your family? Do you snap at your spouse or your kids? Man, do you just at work just want to quit and walk away and just be done? I think so many of us want this perfect life, so we hold on to control so tightly that when us or our kids or somebody at work goes outside of the bounds of what we have pictured for our life, we snap. But I think what God is saying is, listen, no one's going to live this picture perfect life. It's okay. Again, you have all fallen short, but I'm the God who chooses to draw near, the God who comes to be Emmanuel, God with us, God of the mess, but God in the mess too. It's okay if it's not perfect. And maybe for some of you this Christmas, you need to let go of the control, the stress that comes with this season. Just let stress go and instead, I'm a mindset to embrace this mess, whatever it may bring and whatever may come this Christmas. God, I'm just going to embrace it. I'm relinquishing my control to you, the God who is with us. So how will you respond and how will you embrace the mess this season? Mary's response, when she hears the angel give her this news that is going to change her future, I read this line so very differently this year because it's a bold proclamation of faith, knowing what she's about to walk into.
says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Oof. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Knowing public disgrace, knowing what people are going to think of you, I choose what God wants for me and I will follow him. What about Joseph? The last time we left him, he's pondering divorce. As he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." No, she's telling the truth. "She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken. Do you remember Isaiah? Oh, 1,000 years ago, he spoke these words. "Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they will call him," ooh, "Emmanuel, God with us." Joseph, I know what you're about to walk into. I know what it looks like. I know what people are going to say, but God will be with you. And so what does Joseph do? It's one thing to hear a good word, like, "Oh, I was at church on Sunday. Ooh, that was so good." But when it takes root in our life is when it's lived out. So what does Joseph do upon waking up? When he woke up from sleep, he did as the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. He knew her not until she'd given birth to a son. And in an act of obedience, he named him Jesus. This is how they respond. How do we respond? You see, we have the wise men, shepherds, Mary and Jesus. There's some things that they all have in common in this story. They all went somewhere where they least expected to go. They kind of made up a non-family family as they gathered to worship the king. They were all obedient. They were all unexpected. That's how God makes the church together as well. But the thing that stuck out to me the most this year is that they were all minor characters. There's one more. You thought I forgot about baby Jesus over here, didn't you? There's one more person in this scene and in this story. Everything and everyone in this story is pointing to Jesus. Because of this story, all of time is split into two, before this story and after this story. Even though Jesus has no lines, his presence is enough to change the world. And it's not just these characters that are looking towards Jesus. No, the story is so much bigger when you look at your Bible and how thick it is from what has come to this point. It's not just these people. It's all of the people through 77 generations who are now looking to him. I saw this week, and I love it, and I want to share it with you. It reminds us it's not just this story. It's a much bigger one. I don't know if you're a person who loves art or not, but here's what I want you to do. I'm not going to say anything about this. I just want you to look at it for a minute. I think online we can blow it up to be your whole screen. But those in the room, it's big on the screen. I want you to look at this for a moment. Who are these people? What is happening in this painting? You see, and you look, and it must be Eve. First of all, because she's naked. Thank the Lord for long hair, and we can show this on the screen. All of everyone in history from the beginning is looking forward to the child in Mary's belly. Now she looks down, you see what she's holding, the apple that has already had a bite out of it. You see, when sin enters the world, you see her feet? The snake coiled up around her leg, it's taken hold. See, when sin and death enters into the world, darkness begins to reign. We see people acting with selfish motives, cutting one another down, not honoring God and not valuing other people. And we see sin and its chaotic effects take root into the world. Ah, but there is a God who is coming, who's been promised for thousands of years, who's going to come and be God with us and save people from their sins and set the world back to right. And so she looks down. You know what I love? At first I look at Mary's feet. I'm like, is she falling off a ledge? What's going on? Oh no, her heel is on the serpent. If you know your scriptures in Genesis, Oh, yes, the curse from Adam and Eve, but there is one that is coming, a descendant of humanity that will come and crush the serpent's head with his heel. For Jesus is coming so that darkness will no longer reign and light is coming to the world, maybe in through the presence of a baby, to save the world. All of us look in this story. We need a savior. I think I've been to 3 funerals in the last 10 days. Whew. Darkness is still in the world. But friends, the darkness does not win. And there's a light that has come and a hope that we currently have that is different because of this story. But the story is not over. We've entitled this series, Your Christmas Story, Chapter 2021. It doesn't end. It's continually being written. So this year, here's the question I want to ask you today. What's your role in this story? You know, I opened my little intro as there was roles that people have that they were born to play, Liam Neeson or Heath Ledger, whoever. Maybe God has put you at this point in this story at this time with a specific role to play. For them, it was the role of a lifetime, but maybe for you this Christmas, something will happen with a stranger, with those that you know, but you'd really rather not be with. Or for those of us that life is not what we thought it would be, and Christmas this year won't be what we thought it would be, it'll be different. But God could enter into this story. And it would be the role of a lifetime. Maybe for some of you that are already following Jesus, you'd recognize, I'm a minor character, even in my own story. This is God's story that he's telling. How could I be a minor character pointing others to Jesus? I would be a minor character even in their story as I point them towards Jesus this Christmas. Maybe something would happen in the next 19 days that you or your family will reflect on for the rest of your life. Do you remember 2021? Do you remember what we did? Man, we helped that other person. We invited that other person. It was a role you'll be speaking of for a lifetime. Specifically today, I want to ask you to ask God, what role do you want me to play? Not just, in Christmas. No, specifically, in the next 19 days. For some of us, we need to come and kneel at the manger and recognize Jesus is King. I've been living in the darkness and I need a light. I need a hope. And so I come and kneel and I want a relationship with God. For some of us, this week, we'll begin to notice strangers as wise men. Maybe we would welcome strangers with radical hospitality, or you would be a wise man and travel to someone's house and give them a gift. Maybe this week you'll begin to notice the lower class or the people that are around you that you've written off and realize, man, I need to invite you because there is good news of great joy even for you. Or you would be a shepherd and show up for others. Or following the example of Mary and Joseph, even if this Christmas ends up being nothing of what you wanted it to be or thought it would be, embrace it. That you'd be able to see the good in it. After all, everyone's together and the Savior is coming. Practically, maybe you make a coffee and take it to your neighbor that lives alone. Stay and talk. Maybe you drop a meal off or a gift card to the neighbor who you know isn't doing well. Maybe you give generously to anyone who needs it because God has done the same for you. And for all of us, we invite anyone and everyone to join us for our Christmas services because the Savior is coming and there is good news that the world needs to hear. Live as someone who is sent. Live as a minor character that points to the Savior that is coming into the world. Would you pray with me? God, as we look at this story today, as these characters, I trust that you've taught us something new and something different. But we trust that you do that when we open your word and it's alive and it's active and you speak to us exactly what it is that we personally need to hear today. But God, I pray that's not the end of this story. We received a new piece of knowledge. That's fantastic. God, no, help us to be a people who are sent to live out this story this week and leading up until Christmas. May we begin to see the characters in our life different. God, for some of us today, we need to come and kneel and recognize that you are King, you are God. Even though scripture says we've all fallen short of your glory, and we know it, we know we live in darkness, we know the chaos that sin has caused even in our own life, maybe we would come to you and confess our sin and say, God, I'm sorry for not living for you, but now I'm coming to the manger. Could you forgive me? Could you make me whole? Could you make me new? You're welcome to pray those words today, and God receives you. If the shepherds can come, so can you. You'd be involved of the church and the party that is happening of forgiveness. And God, for the rest of us, may you let these words resound in our heart this week and this Christmas. We would live out your Christmas story, the story and the role that you want us to play. God, I just ask, would you bring us people, strangers? Would you bring us the people that are honestly already there? We just don't see them in this light, that they are valuable. And help us to communicate that to them. And God, help us to embrace this season, no matter what it brings, knowing you are the God who is with us. We thank you, we praise you, and we love you, Jesus. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.